The following study is a Sunday morning lesson given by Pastor Brett Metter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Let's get to it. We are in Hebrews. So if you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll study the scriptures as we always do. Hebrews chapter 12. I remember when I was about 6 years old, I thought I'd learned how to outsmart my father. You see, because there was a particular day that I had been particularly disobedient to my mother. And by the time I was six, it wasn't about my mom saying, Brett, go to your room, I'm going to give you a spanking. It was about this. My mom said, your dad's going to hear about this when he gets home. That was terrifying. It wasn't about, when my mom spanked me, it was like, that felt good. It was like a massage. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, thanks. Just a little lower. Yeah, there. Yeah, right there. Yeah, that's good. Perfect. No, it didn't hurt. My mom's just too sweet, too kind. She was just had that motherly heart, you know, and she thought she was spanking me, but I was kind of like, wah. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, just kind of. But then she realized it wasn't really working because she couldn't inflict that discipline that actually worked. So it shifted. Right around four or five years old, my dad took over. And I was old enough, you know, if I sinned at 10 o'clock, I had a long enough memory to remember, you know, at 6 o'clock when my dad would walk in the door. I knew what I had done, and my dad would remind me. So this one particular day, thinking that I had outsmarted my dad, I decided to layer the padding between me and the paddle. Under my tough skin jeans, does anybody remember tough skin jeans? I mean, right there, you're protected. You know what I'm saying? To a certain degree, those steel knees they used to put in those Sears tough skin jeans. Man, the whole pants, I remember my tough skin pants would be all worn out except for the knees right here where they put those steel patches or whatever they were made of, Kevlar, I don't know, carbon fiber, but whatever they were. And so I had my tough skins, but under that, I had my pajamas. And under that, I had like five pair of underwear. And I was set. I walked in ready for my spanking. You know what I'm saying? I was bulging out and all over the place, and my dad took one look at me, and he shook his head, and he said, Brett, that's not going to help. And he made me strip down to my undies, one pair. Dumbest thing I'd ever done in my life. The tough skins really do help, I learned. But after that, I never tried to pull a fast one on my dad again. Now, some of you are saying, that's horrible that a kid would have to be put up with that kind of abuse. And really, our culture, by and large, deems spanking as abusive. Now, it's no wonder. It's no wonder because, see, our culture, when we talk about spanking, nobody that I ever read about, nobody that I ever talk to, the studies that I have looked at, and I've stayed up on this quite a bit over the years, I've never seen studies that actually looked at the proper example of what spanking really is or what the Bible talks about. Instead, spanking your children, well, this is the stuff we hear about. Maybe you heard even today or yesterday. This was October 13th. What is it today? The 13th today. At 4:25 a.m., apparently this came out, Associated Press. But you heard about this. The Dallas woman, the headline goes like this. Woman who beat, super glued her two-year-old daughter to the wall gets 99 years. What did she do? She super glued her two-year-old daughter's hands to the wall and then proceeded to beat her. This is a horrifying story. This woman, Escalona, her other children told the authorities that their mother attacked Jocelyn due to potty training problems. Police say she kicked her daughter in the stomach, beat her with a milk jug, and then stuck her hands to an apartment wall with an adhesive commonly known as superglue. The judge said that he believed many of the allegations that Escalona, the mother, was abused as a child. Quote, he says, and again, outside of the context of this trial, I think even the state would find you to be a sympathetic figure because they prosecute people for what you have done. But I can't consider that evidence outside of the context of this trial. In other words, he says, man, we understand that you were abused as a child and we would otherwise be sympathetic to you in that. But now you've taken really what your parents did to you and now you're just doing it perhaps even worse, exponentially worse than what your parents did to you. Her daughter was then in a coma for just a short, I think a couple days, and then she ended up dying. Horrifying, horrifying situation. So she gets 99 years, but in 30 years, she's up for parole. This is the culture that we're living in. This is the kind of stuff that we see. We see a very twisted culture, and generations now, it's not just one generation, but now we're going two, three generations away where spanking has become really misunderstood, misappropriated, and misapplied. In fact, what we see in the word here, many people read, when we're going to read this, they're going to think, man, that's horrible. It was in the 60s when Dr. Spock, and we're not talking Star Trek, but Dr. Spock came out with his book about spanking children. And it really changed much of what psychology believed about spanking children, and then was very popularly embraced by most of our society. So the baby boomer generation kind of grew up with sort of a different mindset. Our culture thinks differently today about spanking than it did 50 years ago. You say, well, Brad, we all know that, and that's a good thing. But I would wonder, and I want you to honestly ask, is it really a good thing? And before you get too fired up and tune me out, because I know that this topic is inflammatory, and some of you just think I'm like right next to Satan, because I'm going to say tonight, spank your children. And I know that because I get letters and emails. Please don't send them. I get too many already. People hate me. I get it. We don't have to worry about that. Your letter's not going to make me feel worse. I'm just going to get fueled by your letter. What's that? Well, it's just, I believe the Bible. I'm a Bible guy. I believe what was true, 2,000 years ago remains true today. I'm not into the newer cultures. Even though I don't understand all of the Bible, I've noted that people who generally believe the Bible and follow the Bible do well. And a culture that knows what true spanking is, not abuse, and there's a huge difference. This is where we get it all wrong. A culture that believes in disciplining their children in that form of punishment, they do better. And it's hard because I believe there's many statistics you'll hear out there, but you'll find them on both sides, and it's kind of hard to know who to believe. Some studies say kids that are disciplined by spanking do better and are stronger and more aggressive and more assertive, depending on how good or bad that seems to you. Others say, no, it's all. If you spank your child, they'll be withdrawn and emotional. They're in the corner sucking their thumb. They won't have any drive or any good thing. Which one is it? Well, this is where I rely on the Bible, God's word to humanity. This is where you're not going to have to be mad at me. Don't write me a letter or email. Write God one. Because what I'm going to show you tonight is really right out of the Holy Bible. It's right here in Hebrews chapter 12. And as we read it, many people want to try to make this a figurative structure of wording here, or just something we don't take literally. It's just figurative. I don't believe that. I believe it's a description of how the Lord disciplines us, chastens us, and it's also a good model for us to follow with our children. You say, Brett, don't care about this. Don't have any kids. Well, here's the thing. If you don't have any kids, you might. Someday you might have kids. Well, I've already had kids. Well, yeah, but do you have then grandkids? These are things that we need to know. But even if you say, Brett, I will never have kids. I don't like kids. I'm never going to be associated with kids, which that always cracks me up because you were a kid at one point. Praise the Lord, there were people who actually liked kids and they were not all like you. By the way, I've never met like people who like kids. I've never met a person who likes kids who I didn't like. But I have met people that don't like kids that I didn't like. That's just the truth. I'm being real honest right here. So it's just something to think about. But you say, Brett, none of that applies to me. I don't like kids. I don't want nothing to do with kids. Some of you might say, Brett, that's not me. We wished we could have kids, but we can't. But here's the thing. The Lord works that stuff out. And if this breaks your heart, there's still application for all of us in this room because this idea of spanking, well, what I want to hope to show you tonight is that if you don't get spanking, mom and dad spanking their kids in a loving, godly, biblical way, then it's harder for you to understand the way God chastens you. You see, this culture that we live in that's against spanking, our relationship with the Lord is hurt. We don't understand God. We don't understand his heart for us because we haven't exercised the proper loving parental privilege that we have to discipline our kids. So many people have no idea what it means to be chastened by the Lord. And so tonight, hopefully we can kind of think about that. So no matter who you are tonight, really this could have some meaning for you when it gets right down to your own personal relationship with the Lord. So let's take a look. Let's see what Hebrews has to say about this. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," or disciplines, "and scourges," or spanks, if you would, "every son who he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." Literally, you're illegitimate if you're not spanked by the Father. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Notice here that, first of all, the author of Hebrews assumes something, a presupposition that this whole discussion is based on, and that is the culture getting it. The author of Hebrews says, you guys know how important it is to spank your own kids and how any father who really loves his kids will spank them. You know that. The problem today, we don't. Our culture says, no, that's wrong. So that's the hardest part for us in this description of how the Father chastens us, the Father in heaven who loves us as his kids. We don't get it as a culture because we've forsaken just the righteousness of good, solid discipline of our kids. We see that in the first couple of verses. In fact, it says verse 5, he says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Don't be bummed out that the Lord chastens you. Or don't faint when you're rebuked of him. That's one of the reasons why, by the way, people faint. They get all frustrated when the Lord is trying to lovingly rebuke them. They've never been lovingly rebuked before. They've never felt a paddle on their hind end. And so when there's a little loving discipline, they're like, hey, what's that? And we live in such a safe culture where everybody's afraid to do anything. It's crazy how things have changed, even since I was a kid. You know, nowadays, if you're out on the playground, they've got those soft padded monkey bar areas. You fall off the monkey bars. It's like, it feels good. You know what I'm saying? We used to use asphalt under my monkey bars when I was a kid. There was no padding when you hit the ground. And not only that, you know, maybe you guys remember, if you're older like me, there were no airbags in our car. Now there's airbags everywhere. There's bags in your steering wheel and on the headliners and up in the visor and on the seat behind. And man, you get in a crash, it's like, poof, it's being in a bounce house. You know, it's like, ooh, it's great. You know, I don't know about that. That's great. That's great that they've made it more safe, I guess, for cars. But what we had for dashboard was metal. That's what it was. There was nothing soft about it. You got a facial imprint on the metal when you crashed your car. My Volkswagen was all metal. I remember when I crashed my Volkswagen Squareback, it was my steel steering wheel that I bent forward, and my knee went through the dashboard and put a hole right through the stereo. But I got the license plate of the person I hit because it was right about here. I was like, okay, it was right there. Got it. It was like a foot from my face. But that was the day I lived. So good now that they've made it safe. The problem is we've made it so cushy and safe, and you can't even have an injury. You know, moms are afraid to let their kids go to camp now. Why? Because of Lyme disease. You can get Lyme disease. Do you remember the Lyme disease craze? Now, what is funny about that, Lyme disease, it's always existed. Nothing was on a rise or heightened. It was just something we kind of figured out that maybe ticks have Lyme disease. And it was suddenly this big scare. And I remember the day as an old camp director when Lyme disease was the big thing. Parents were totally afraid to have their kids go to camp lest they get Lyme disease. Now, it's a real thing. But it's so funny how people let those kinds of things dictate fear. And pretty soon the kid's like bummed. Can't even go to camp. Why? Because of Lyme disease. But we all survived and we're all perfectly normal. You know, it's like, you know, right? It's funny how our culture, we get so safe. And let me just say, moms, this is where I want to encourage you to lean on the dads. There's a good balance between mom and dad. I think part of the problem is the poor single mom. The poor single mom, she's got the motherly heart, which is so important and key. But there's something about the dad. I believe it takes a mom and a dad, and here's why. Because the mom, she's there, oh, don't get hurt. We don't want you to scrape your knee. You don't want to get poison oak. You don't want to get Lyme disease. But the dad's like, oh, let's sprinkle a little Lyme disease on the spaghetti. That sounds good. I like that. Us dads, we're just a little different. And you that are married, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, let the kid go play on the pavement. But he's not wearing his helmet. So what? You might get a scrape on his head. It's good for him. Well, you see, here's the thing. There's a difference between mom and dad, and there's a balance somewhere in between of safety and knowing how much hurt is really bad. I think sometimes we isolate and insulate our kids so much that, man, they grow up to be little weaklings, really little weaklings. In fact, I even believe that we've cleared up so much filth and dirt in their life that their immune system has become so weak. I say bring your kid to the nursery the first day they're born. Right out of the hospital, into the nursery. Say, okay, kids, here, exposed to the germs. That's honestly, I mean, you think I'm joking, but I love it. I wished we had a study here because I've got a pretty good feel of what's going on. But the kind of parents at Athey Creek who, as soon as Junior was born, as soon as mom felt well enough and as soon as Junior was, you know, good to go, they came to church and dropped Junior off in the nursery. Now, there's the other types, and you know who you are, where you said, I'm not going to church for 10 years because I know there's germs in that nursery. I saw a kid with a sniffly nose. A horrible satanic mother brought her child with a sniffly-nosed baby, and she's from Satan. I know who you are, you moms. There's some of you that are kind of that way. I am all for protecting kids and keeping them all safe and you know, but at the same time, I believe we've become so ridiculous. And this is where dads, I think you need to lovingly, gently come up into your family and have something to say about this. I really do, dads. I think we are the ones who, by and large, drop the ball on this one. A lot of times, guys, we've kind of become wimpified in our culture. And for a man to stand up and say, honey, we need to let Junior be at risk just a little bit. We're going to put Junior at risk. We're going to let them ride a skateboard. We're going to let them play football and lacrosse and hockey. Even hockey? Yes, hockey. That's what we do. That's what boys, especially little boys, like to do. And you know, and I think that sometimes moms, you got to acquiesce, even though it's hurt and painful. Do you think Debbie loves the fact that Joey and I go out all the time and ride dirt bikes on motocross tracks? She hasn't loved that for years. But she's a very loving wife and she understands. And if you ask her today, she sees the benefit. Now, what's really troubling is Casey's getting into motocross. And so, one of my daughters, she's like, I like it. I like catching air, you know? And so Debbie's like, no, my daughter, you took my son. Now you got my... So, we're still working through that. Pray for us. We're good. But it is, it's hard. You know, I notice in Debbie's heart, she's just wired differently than I am. And praise the Lord, it's a perfect balance. Now, in the area of spanking your children, it's oftentimes the mothers who are saying, never, never will we spank our children, put pain onto our children. But here's the thing, it's usually either the dad saying, yes, we will, or the dad saying, okay, honey, whatever you say. You're like Barak of the Old Testament following Deborah. I'll go if you go, honey. Hiding behind the skirt of Deborah. I hope you're not that kind of man, guys, in the church. Loving to your wife, definitely. Hearing her wisdom, because she's got great wisdom, absolutely. But being that balance, listening to what the Lord has put within you, Dad, about the safety of your kids, even the disciplining of your kids. I feel like men are becoming silenced in our culture, even though there's a certain wisdom that is there. All that to say, here the Lord says, you guys know. You already know how a good father will chasten. In fact, it even says that in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son. And it says in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? He asks rhetorically, is there even such a thing? I mean, what father doesn't spank or chasten his son? And the answer to them in those days, no father that cared at all about his kid. But our culture, we ask that question, I don't know. Is there a father that should chasten or discipline his son? And our culture is tweaked out and messed up. Now here's the problem. I shared with you that horrifying story that happened, the sentencing today. And so these are the kind of stories that make the people who are anti-spanking sound really logical. And it's true. I'm going to say, just as a guess, this isn't a scientific thing, but it seems to me like maybe 90% of the spanking that I've observed over the years. Now, you got to understand, I've been a children's pastor just as long as I've been a senior pastor. So I've worked with kids for a long time and parents for a long time. And then as a pastor, I've seen a lot of families come and go. I've taught kids in Christian application, but I've also taught kids in public school for a short time. And I got to see kind of their behaviors. And I've just observed a lot of stuff with kids. And here's the problem. Our culture is not getting it right. Whether you're spanking or not spanking, most of it's all wrong. If you're spanking, it's possibly and probably, sadly, abusive. But if you're not spanking, I would say you're equally abusive. And this is what the Bible teaches. So what's the right way? The biblical way. So what does the Bible say? Well, it says the Lord who he loves, he chastens. Now, this idea of chastening and the scourge that he makes here, or the paddle is the idea. What's the deal with that? The Lord will scourge us? I don't know if I like that. Well, what does the Bible say? And this is where we turn to the book of Proverbs. Why don't you keep your finger here in Hebrews, and let's go back to Proverbs, which is kind of the scripture we go to on this. Proverbs 13:24. Now, keep in mind, this is King James. The language does come off sort of harsh at times. But at the same times, I don't want to wimpify what is not what is being said here. I don't want to misrepresent what the scriptures say. So I'm just going to read it as it says, and then we're going to see what it means to us. Now again, if you're not into parenting or no kids at all, this will come into application for you personally. Let's make sure and stay tuned here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 is where we're going to begin. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him, or literally spanks him, betimes. King James, betimes. That's not a word you use very often. Spank him betimes. What does that mean? Well, the word betimes, if you're a note taker in your Bible or just jotting in your notes, write the word betimes. And it means, if you look it up in the original Hebrew language, it means immediately and consistently. By the way, this is one of the first mistakes parents make when they are spanking their children. They don't teach their kids, if you do this, then this will happen. What they teach their kids is, if you do this, then you get to play a game and see how long it's going to take me to fly off the handle before I really whack you one. What does that mean? That's exactly what kids, they get really good at discerning, when is mom really going to lose it? Because she's going to threaten to spank me. And I'm going to work it as far as I can to get mom just on the edge. But when I see, oh, the paddle's coming, it's time to be angelic. Mommy, I love you. They play the game. Your kids are good at this. Now the thing is, betimes means immediately and consistently. so that Junior doesn't, what you do, you inadvertently teach Junior how to get away with it for a longer amount of time. But if you do it rightly, if you hit your sister in the face, you will get a spanking. Oh, Brett, there it is. You're teaching not to hit by hitting. Now, here's where the studies, I think, go wrong. Because here's what the studies all say. The studies all say, if you spank your children, it'll teach that hitting is the answer to hitting. And you'll teach your children to hit. But here's the thing that I just got a theory. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think that there is something to teach kids that there is a time to hit someone. I really do believe there's a time and a place to hit someone. If you are a Marine and you're in Afghanistan, I would hope that you are strong enough and willing to hit someone. Hit them in the face with your fist. Hit them in the chest with a round. I would hope that they're willing to do that. That's what a soldier does. And I believe there are times where people, whether you're a soldier or a police officer, oh, well, what about our daughters? I want my daughters to know how to hit someone. If they're walking on campus at PCC in the dark of night, I want them to know how to take care of themselves and be protected. I think it's foolish to say that there's never a time to hit. See, what we do is we actually teach our kids that there are certain things where there's a line that's going to be crossed. And as they get older, they will learn to discern what is an offense that is hittable. You got to teach that just as much. See, because there's been none of that in kids' lives, nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows how to defend themselves in a lot of ways. And I even worry that our military becomes weakened when we're led by these politicians who don't really understand those things. They weren't spanked when they were children. Thus, they don't know how to lead the country. But I'm getting way ahead of myself. Now, all this to say, the idea of hitting or spanking, it's very particular. It's not just hauling off and hitting. I call it the blue light special, Mom. That's abuse. What's that? Yeah, the reason I remember that is just as a kid. I remember going by the flash. Do they still have the flashing blue light at Kmart? No, it's been gone. It's they'd have these big specials at Kmart. And the flashing blue light. Everybody run to the flashing blue light. Well, I remember that as a kid. And it was always the mom at the flashing blue light. Knock it off right now. Whack, whack, whack. And then Junior touched something on the shelf. Whack, whack. The spanking just compulsively, embarrassingly. That's abuse. That's abuse. Now, you say, okay, Brett, so what is the right way to spank? Well, our text gives us something right here in Proverbs. First of all, it says, he that spareth his rod. By the way, every time we read about spanking in the Bible, the rod is spoken of. Never once, not one time do we read about spanking in the context of a father, the father, or a father using his hand. Now, you'll find some of the psychologists will say, no, spanking is not to be totally done with, but never use your rod or a paddle. Here's the fallacy. The Bible just says a rod is the way you do it. Now, I believe a rod is the most compassionate and important way. See, when I think of the hand of my Father in heaven, what do I think of? I read scriptures that says, like in John 10, that no man can pluck me out of the hand of my Father. The hand of God is a loving hand. It's a kind, protective hand. The hand of God does not whack me across the rear end. The hand of God is protective and loving, even as my father who spanked me with a paddle. I did not like the paddle. I hated the paddle. It was a piece of trim that he got off of some construction site. And it was not fun. And I didn't like the paddle. But his hand, my dad's hand, as a little kid, I remember my dad's hand was the hand that tickled, the hand that protected, the hand that threw up in the air and we had a blast. It was the hand of blessing. That was my dad's hand. But it was never an instrument of pain or torture. I think that parents that use their hands are misguided and definitely unbiblical. I know that goes against what the world is saying. I know that get you into trouble these days, even saying such a thing. But the Bible says the rod, he that spareth his rod, not his hand or spanking, he that spares his rod, that's a paddle, hates his son. Strong words. But again, this is a Bible that assumes people kind of know this, that you're supposed to spank your kids. Now, But he that loveth him will chasten him betimes, immediately and consistently. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so flip into the next proverb. Let's just kind of probe the Proverbs here for a second. What about Proverbs 19:18? Now, this idea of betimes, if you miss your opportunity while your kids are young enough, then it can be too late. And the Proverbs remind us of that. It says in Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare for his crying. While there's still hope. It can be too late. And that's a sad thing. As an old youth pastor, I watched that. Parents telling me, Brett, come over to our house, meet with our kid. They're 16. What are we going to do? They're very rebellious. And really, the Lord can help, and there's things we can do and try to help. But I have to say, why didn't you do what the Bible said when they were little, when they were still in a place where they could learn and train? You see, what's so cool about, raising kids, and by the way, I'm no expert. I have not been the perfect father. I did spank my kids when they were little. But what's so great about being a parent, when you follow the biblical model, it's a fairly young age when the kids, they don't even really need to be spanked anymore. Because they, in such an early place, they learn that, you know what, you just want to obey your parents and follow and be submitted to authority and do the right thing. And there's just something that kind of happens in a good positive role. You say, but Brett, your kids are probably messed up and wimpy. Well, I'll tell you something. My kids are very strong, blessed kids. They're leaders. They're smart, and they all love Debbie and I. We they've not rebelled and gone out and done a bunch of wacko things. I really think that I, by the grace of God, have had the best scenario that you could ever have with kids. It's just a huge blessing. But everybody acts like that's such a elusive mystery. How do you have your kids and obey and do the right thing? It's not that difficult if you just say, I'm going to follow the Bible. And what's that? Well, this scripture says, chasing your son while there's still hope, when they're young, is the idea. And it says, don't spare thy soul, or don't let thy soul spare for his crying. Now, this one's mostly the word to the mom, I'm pretty sure. Because dads have a way of seeing through the crying thing a little earlier than moms. Sometimes. There's some moms that get pretty wise to that pretty fast too. But I've noticed that with our kids, it was a little harder sometimes for Debbie to discern, especially with Joey. Boys and girls are very different. I don't care what psychology says. They're very different. And it's funny because I was able to see through Joey's kind of games earlier than Debbie. But Debbie was able to see through our girls, Casey and Brooks' games, when they were a little better than I could. It's funny how moms and dads, it really does take a team. And so what happened? Well, it's like I said, I joked earlier, but it's true. I remember when Brooke, I only had to spank Brooke a few times over the years. She was very well behaved, but when she did stuff, she went big. She went big. And so I remember one time, I said, Brookie, you've disobeyed your mommy and daddy, and here's what you've done, and daddy's going to have to spank you. And she just started blinking her big eyes, saying, Daddy, I love you. I'm like, I love you too, and that's why I'm going to spank you. And it was very calm, but she was trying to work it. Girls get good at that stuff at three. 3 years old. Whether it's the crying or the manipulating, don't spare the rod. If you love your children, you will discipline them betimes. That's important. Look at Proverbs 22:15. In Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, here's the problem. Here's one of the big problems of our culture. Freudian psychology, and as well as Dr. Spock and Brazelton and the others that you've heard over the years talking about this topic. The problem fundamentally is this, that people, children, are basically good. They were born good. And all we need to do is water the blossom and let the child grow in their goodness. and reward good behavior only because that's what... But here's the problem. The Bible says no. We were born, even conceived in sin. The moment that sperm hits the egg, I believe you're a sinner. That's what the Bible says. That's not me. Even in conception, we're sinful. Now here's the thing. All these people who say that kids are basically good and all that, I don't think they ever had children. Do you know what I mean? You moms and dads know what I'm talking about. I never once sat down with my children. Okay, today, children, we're going to do a lesson on lying. I'm going to give you the 5 points on how to lie effectively. First of all, when you lie, look the person in the eye. Do not blink. Do not look any other direction. Just tell them with your eyes. And then, number two, when you lie, don't quiver in your voice. State what you're saying with boldness. I didn't sit them down and teach them those skills. They just had those supernaturally. Or not even that supernaturally. Maybe powers from below. You know what I mean? It's sin. I never taught, you know, my kids to argue with each other or be self-centered. I never taught them to push the limits and just purposefully disobey. But it's funny, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. That is a behavior that's sinful. And we all have it. We all were born with it. But what does the Bible say? That foolishness that's bound within us from the moment we were conceived, it says here, it's the rod of correction that will drive that foolishness far from him. So the thing is, I believe that there's actually long-term ramifications for even an adult who is never properly disciplined. And I'm not just talking about the kid that got taken out behind the barn and whooped. You know, that's not necessarily proper discipline. But we're going to see there's more to spanking than just spanking. There's a driving out of foolishness, and I believe that's through instruction. How do we see that? Well, let's keep going. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 13. Here's another one. You're going to love this one. Proverbs 23, 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, what is being said here? Is it if you beat him with a rod, he won't die? He'll be all right. He'll survive your beating. Maybe. Now, that is, by the way, how hard do you spank a child? Well, you know, this woman, obviously, that's not love. That's horrifying that we read about earlier. I believe that spanking needs to always be done in love and very carefully metered out. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but the point is to be extremely under control and to know exactly what you're doing, to know exactly how much the paddle hurts, to feel it on your own leg first, to know what it feels like before the children know what it feels like. I think that gauging and having your husband and wife be accountability partners in spanking to make sure that it's metered out rightly, I think this is all kind of hugely important. But all that to say here, this idea that if you beat him with the rod, what does it say? Well, it says here that he will not die. But it's not that he's just not going to die from the spanking. He's not going to die just as in that sinful death kind of way. In a way, by spanking your children, you're going to even save his soul from walking in just rampant sin. There's real discipline that can come, and even an appreciation for when you do the crime, you got to pay the time. If you sin, there's a cost. The cost that goes with sin is death. And unless a child knows that my sin causes consequence, when you get older, you will not understand what the Bible teaches, that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'll tell you, I understood the gospel pretty well by the age of 5, and it's because of this. I was spanked a lot by the time I was 5 years old. I knew that sin equaled pain. I knew that sin equaled death. I didn't like spankings, but I also heard this message that my sin deserves more than a spanking. My sin deserves death and hell for eternity. And so when my parents told me, Brett, you know the Lord loves you so much, He wants to take your spanking for you. And your spanking is much bigger than anything your dad ever gives you. And I understood that, the repercussion of sin. I fear that a lot of kids grow up not really understanding what the repercussions are of sin. And so they just keep going, and parents wonder why Junior's not listening and why they're not wanting to do the right thing. Man, it's so important to understand that there's a death of sin that's built within all of us. And we need to teach our kids, and that they need to discern that. Well, Proverbs 23, look at verse 14. It says, thou shalt beat him with the rod. And by the way, the word beat is the King James kind of overstating. We think of beating as something bad, and it is in modern text. But the idea is when you're spanking, not beating with your fist or anything. You're using the rod, and you're spanking on the rear end. That's the idea. It says, if you spank him with the rod, you will deliver his soul from hell. That's interesting to me. Now, the word Sheol is the Hebrew there. It's not just the fires of hell like you would think maybe traditionally, but actually Sheol can mean several things. But one thing is incarcerated. Are you talking about like keeping him out of prison? Well, what's interesting is I believe there is some truth to that. That you keep them out of prison, but also being trapped in a sinful life and a sinful condition. There's too many people that grow up not really knowing what it means to truly be free, but they're trapped in their own sin and they're trapped in their own guilt. Here's what the non-spanking child or parents don't realize. Take it from a guy who was spanked daily in the fourth grade. All through the fourth grade, I got spanked every day. That was my rebellious years, fourth grade. Pretty much the worst. There were other bad years too, but the fourth grade was every day. I remember I said this at a church service years ago, and my mom happened to listen to the teaching. And so at the dinner table, she's like, Brett, we never spanked you every day. And I said, yeah, Mom, fourth grade, don't you remember? And she said, no, we didn't. And she looked at my dad and said, honey, we didn't spank Brett every day in the fourth grade, did we? And my dad said, he just kind of closed his eyes and yes, every day. It's true. It was a tough time for old Brett. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, it says here that this idea of being incarcerated or trapped or in bondage is the idea. There's a dynamic that's hard to explain unless you've been a child raised with the proper kind of spanking. And that is the blessing that comes afterward. You see, the proper way of spanking is not just the blue light special mom. That's the worst way to do it, and that is abusive. But I always like to run through kind of the scenario because so many parents miss this. But it needs to be, first of all, and just you might jot a few of these things down while we're taking a break here. We're going to look at a couple more Proverbs, but let me just go through a few rules for you. First of all, discipline should always be in love and not in anger. Write that down. Discipline should always be in love because that's what the Lord does. He disciplines because he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. That's what Hebrews says. The flashing blue light mom is not, I'm not saying she doesn't love her kid, but she's spanking her kid out of frustration, out of anger or being freaked out or embarrassed, whatever it is, it's the wrong motivation. The only motivation that you should ever spank your child is because you've just got so much love gushing out of your heart. That's why you should be spanking them. Only motivation is good. That's why perhaps 90% of all the spanking I see on TV specials, 60 Minutes, I remember a whole special was done and they showed three families and how they spanked. All three were horrifyingly bad. And they were asking, which one's the right one? And I was like, none of the above. But it's always got to be in love. That's really key. Your discipline of children should be a response, not a reaction. A response, not a react. You respond to what's going on. You don't react. That's the flashing blue light mom. You don't just kind of react. Now, when it says be times, that means timely. But it doesn't have to be that very second. What it does mean, however, is depending on the age of the child, there's an appropriate time that you can allow to go by to make sure that your heart and your mind is in the right place. So the way that looked for us, me as a kid growing up, but also with my own kids, is if one of my kids, probably the one that got spanked the most, well, I'm not going to identify him, but the one that got spanked the most, it would look like this. I would tell him, you need to go to your room and wait for me there. And what would happen is he'd go to his room and I'd talk to Deb and say, now, are we good here? Is this? Should we spank him for this? And we'd pray about it as Debbie and I, as a husband and wife, we'd talk about it. Brett, that takes time. Yeah, but it's your children. Who cares about dinner or the TV show or whatever. I fear that we put the spanking thing on such a low category. It's like, well, let's just do it, whack, whack, whack. Okay, now what were we doing? No, this takes time. To do parenting right takes time and work. So we talked about it. We'd pray about it. Joey'd be waiting up there. And then I'd get up into his room. And that time, by the way, is valuable. I remember as a kid sitting in my room thinking, I am never going to pull my sister's hair ever again because I know what's coming, man. And it gave me time to think about it. But then by the time my dad got in there or I'd go in there with Joey, I'd say, now, do you understand why you're here? Do you understand what you've done? See, knowing the why, that's coming up here in a second. We'll talk about that. The kids have to know why they're in trouble. Another huge mistake parents make is they don't really communicate with instruction. I like to call it the board of correction applied to the seat of learning. That is that you're going to instruct them, not just with the spanking, but actually tell them the why they're in trouble and make sure they understand it. Otherwise, it's totally a waste of everybody's time, and it's going to be hurtful to the child, I think, if they don't really know what's wrong, if they don't know how to improve it the next time. That's another thing. And then here's another huge one that I see that's really painful, and that is you discipline your children for sin, not mistakes. You discipline your children for sin, not mistakes. If the kid tips the glass of milk over on the table, that's an accident, probably. You say, well, Brett, that's a tricky one. I understand, but here's the thing. You can discern this. If Junior's 4 years old and he's still learning to use his tippy cup and he tips it over accidentally, you don't spank him for that. Some kids are more clumsy than others. And some kids make more messes. There's a difference between a mistake versus sin. Now, let's just take it a little different. If the cup tips over because Junior's climbing up on the table and you told him last night not to climb on the table anymore, and he tipped the cup over because of that is a spankable offense, I should say. Why? Because he's deliberately going against what you told him to do. And by the way, Christian, the Lord's going to do the same thing for us because he loves us. I don't believe the Lord spanks us or disciplines us for the mistakes that we make. That's humanity. That's who we are. We stumble around. We make mistakes. It's when we live in rebellion against him and we do the things we know already that we shouldn't be doing. That God has already in his loving kindness shown us this is just wrong. Whether it's in the Bible and black and white papers, or if it's in your heart, even in your conscience, you know this is a wrong thing that I'm about to do. And the Lord says, I'm telling you right now, this is a bad thing. And when we move in rebellion, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But he's not going to, chasten you for a mistake. I think there's a difference between mistake and sin. Does that make sense, Mom and Dad? So obviously, not only was this woman who was charged and convicted horrifyingly just, horrible on every level, one of the things that's almost most tragic to me is what it says here is why she beat her child. It's because it was a potty training trouble. Now, how does that work out? Well, potty training is tricky. It's hard for kids. And you very patiently. Now, if your kid's 15 and he sits there and poops his pants, I would spank a 16-year-old for that. I would turn him over my knee and spank him. Just because he's trying to be mean or whatever. Yeah, that'd be bad. But come on. The potty training. Like, I've seen where parents have no idea that there's a time to teach and train, and that doesn't include spanking. In fact, I believe spanking needs to be not used every single moment of the day. In fact, sometimes I think people come out of a teaching like this and think, we need to be spank happy. And just spank, spank, spank all the time. I don't believe that's it at all. I think you have to use great discernment. What's spankable and what's not? What's just a teaching moment? When do you show grace? And when do you show the board of correction applied to the seat of learning? You know what I mean? You have to be careful about that one. Well, quickly, we're running out of time. So we've got Proverbs 29. Look at this one, Proverbs 29:15. It says there, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. This is interesting to me because this whole deadbeat dad thing, it's an interesting dynamic because dads, for some reason, and I don't know if this is just sin in us men, or maybe it's part of the curse where we have to go off to work and work by the sweat of our brow and we're supposed to provide the living and the curse as it was handed out there in Genesis. I don't know why we're wired differently, but there's something I've noticed where mothers care so deeply. I believe it's a God-given care that only moms have. Dads don't have it the same depth. Oh, we care, but there's something about, you know, Junior, if he's misbehaving, dads are kind of like, well, turned out not so good. Oh, well, gave it our best shot. Whatever. Gonna have to learn the hard way, I guess. Go to jail like I did. Seriously, I'm not a country music fan. I was flipping through the country music stations, and some of you people are going to know what song I'm talking about, which is embarrassing that you know this. But there's a song out there, and I was flipping through. I just heard the lyrics, and it just killed me, man. It was the dad proud that his son got the cops at the door. He's like, yeah, just like me. The cops are at the door with my son, and he was smoking weed and all this stuff. I was like, oh, man, that's sad because that's the typical dad, you know. But there's something about the mom. When she sees the kids not doing well in the longer term, it's a heartbreaker. Moms feel that deeply. And by the way, dads, it's going to do you well to start to care like your wife does. It's going to be good for you to learn from that heart that your wife has for your kids. Not to be so passive or inactive in the raising of your kids. Too many moms have to do all the work in disciplining the kids, and the dad's just kind of just a lazy bum. He's not willing to step up and be the guy when he gets home to deal with the family issues. And I hope that we have none of these guys at Athey Creek here that are not doing what they're supposed to do. Because you, as a man, we are called to lead our families in that way. Well, we see that here, that the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself, if you just leave a kid to himself, he's going to end up shaming his mother. That's what the promises of the Bible say. Now, as we wrap things up here, there's a couple things that you and I need to consider, and that has to do with the scripture back in Hebrews. Go with me to Hebrews just for a minute more. And like I said earlier, if you were not raised by a loving mom and dad who spanked you correctly, really, if you were abusively spanked, you got to kind of forget. You got to put that out of your mind and say, man, that's not the model. If you were not spanked at all, you have no idea. And by the way, the one thing I meant to say and I forgot is the blessing that comes after the spanking. After I would spank my kids, I would cuddle with them. And that was the best. They knew they were forgiven. They knew that we were good to go. We prayed together. I'd even, you know, on some of the offenses, I would have my kids even pray, Lord, forgive me for what I did. And then I would show them in the Bible, see, when you confess that sin, the Lord remembers it no more. And I'd show them, you know, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he will forgive us, cleanse us, you know, from all of our sins. This is great news. And then we'd kind of get together and there'd be joy. And there was some kind of a guilt release that took place. And by the end of the deal, man, that kid was good to go. Jolly, happy, ready to play, ready to wrestle. It was all good. Did you know that the majority of people in prison, the majority, psychology tells us today, the majority of people in prison, either overtly or sort of subconsciously, wanted to get caught. They wanted to get caught for all the things that they had done. And that's majority. That is more than 50% of the people in prison today, there was something within them that wanted to get caught. Why is that? Because living with a lifetime of guilt is one of the hardest things to deal with. Psychology doesn't like to deal with that the way it's supposed to be dealt with. The way it's supposed to be dealt with is to realize you are a sinner. And the punishment for you is death. That's what the Bible says. And man, the person who's not a Christian has to live with sort of that guilt and the sin and stuff on their heart. And they're like, man, I know I've blown it and I still blow it. And I today made mistakes and people don't even know the horrible things I've done. My wife doesn't know. My husband doesn't know. My parents don't have any idea what a horrible sinner. And there's just this guilt that people live with. It's horrible. It's the Christian who gets Hebrews chapter 12. And what is it that the Lord, who he loves, he chastens. Now, keep this in mind. There's a difference between punishment and then correction. And this is how we kind of end this thing. Because people think, I think the Lord's punishing me for what I've done. But there's a difference between punishment and correction. The Lord's correction is not punitive or punishment, but it's correction. What's the difference? Here's the thing. The Lord will never, never punish you as a Christian for your sins. Don't ever say that. Don't ever find out, I think the Lord's punishing me for what I've done. You better hope not. Because the little white lie that you told when you were in kindergarten, the punishment for that is death. That's what the Bible says. Wage of sin is death. I'm not just making this stuff up. So you either believe the Bible or you don't. Now, some of you don't believe the Bible, and all, but you know that there's a weight of guilt on your heart from things you made, stupid things you've done. So even your conscience tells you, man, I do have that weight. But here's the Lord saying, I don't want you to deal with that punishment. So Christ came, died on the cross for your sins, took your punishment on our behalf. He did it for us. It's called propitiation, fancy doctrinal word where he took the punishment substitutionarily for you. He was the propitiation, the answer to the dilemma of humanity. That's what Jesus did. Yeah, but Brett, it says here, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. There's a difference. The Lord punished us so that we could go to heaven, have eternal life, be forgiven for our sins. However, because many of you were never punished or spanked as a child, you don't get this part very well. This is hard for you to fathom, but a loving father, even though he'll deal with your sins eternally and die on the cross for your sins, at the same time, he's going to lovingly correct you and redirect your life and steer your life to go in the right direction. He's going to use even hard things, not as punishment, but as correction. Whom the Lord loves, he will correct. And how does he do that? Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. The Bible gives us the hint. It's by your own sin that you'll be corrected. It's the repercussions that happen because of sin that the Lord's going to use to correct you and get you back on path, at least hopefully. What do you mean, Brett? Let me just read you Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. It says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings will reprove thee. The Proverbs say the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. Do you guys know that that's true? The more you and I get messed up with sinful things, the things the Bible defines as sin, it's just hard. So here's the thing. The loving Father will totally redirect and correct. See, the kind of discipline we're doing is not for punishment. When I spanked my children when they were little, one said, you're going to get it because you were bad. I hope this hurts. That's not what it is. That's abuse. And that's not godly. And that's not the love of the Father. But what it is a parent saying, because I love you, I'm going to apply just a little bit of pain right now so that there's a correction, of course, a redirecting of your heart. And the Lord will still do that with you today. So the way of the transgressor is hard because the Lord loves you. He's going to make it hard for you. The more you get away from him, the more you do your own thing, and you're going to wonder, why is my life so miserable? Why am I feeling so bummed out? I'm doing everything I want to do. And the Lord says, because I love you. Now I'm going to let your own transgressions correct you. In the same way, that's what we do as parents. We let the transgressions of our children be the catalyst that makes us say, okay, how can we redirect? The parent that doesn't do this, the Bible says, they hate their children. You can argue with God on that one. And sadly, there's people in this room and people listening online, or people are going to get all fired up that I said you should spank your children. But man, I think that the parents who don't spank are abusive. That's what God says. Take it up with God, not me. But how thankful I am that I had a dad who had a spine, who took his time to correct me. And he did it rightly. Never once did I hear my dad yell at me. He never screamed or cussed at me. Never. I'm told that before I was born, my dad was a fiery individual. Before he became a Christian, he'd slam dunk guys. And I hear people say, man, your dad was horrible. Before you were born, man, he hurt people. He's in gangs and all this stuff back in the day. And I hear all these stories, but I don't know that part of my dad. I just know a guy who loves the Lord and taught me and spanked me real hard. very calmly, with kind of a smile on his face, and said, I love you, Brett. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Mom and Dad, be careful on this one. By the way, if you're a parent here of little kids and you're wanting some more scripture and stuff, you know, Abner's done a great book on this. He's one of our pastors here and just a guy with some great experience and raised some good kids himself. And John Mike of Cutlass is his son, and just is a great book, a lot of scripture. And we'd like to make that also available to you if you want, you moms and dads. It's a good read. But I want to challenge you, but also to be challenged that the Lord's going to chasten you. Don't be surprised or don't be bummed out at God. Don't shake our love. God, why am I going through hard times? Instead say, Lord, why are you allowing this correction in my life? What is it that I'm doing wrong that maybe you want to redirect? And that's a good thing for us to think about. Lord, I do pray that you'd bless this congregation with wisdom. We know our culture largely rejects this and even makes up their own opinions that are really contrary to your word. And while we might be on the minority now on this issue of spanking, I understand, Lord, for there's so much abusive spanking and so-called discipline that is so wrong. Lord, I pray that you would protect children from parents who don't get it. I pray for those who have been abused and hurt by their parents, Lord, that you would heal those wounds and Lord, that they might grow up to change the path or even the pattern of families previous. Lord, I pray that this church would be full of parents who are loving, patient, humble, but also strong enough to stand up and let their kids know when things are amiss or wrong. I pray that kids would learn to take correction early from their parents, that when they grow into adulthood and are away from their parents, that they would learn to be able to take correction from you. Forgive us, Lord, for being rebellious in this topic, Lord, as a culture. And I pray that you'd turn these things around in this church, starting here. And maybe, Lord, that you'd do a work even in our whole culture and in all of America. You'd change our hearts. Thank you for dying for our sins, taking the ultimate punishment for us. Lord, you received the ultimate punishment, and you saved us, and we thank you for that, Lord. So we bless you. Give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us anytime at athecreek.com, where we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.